from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy Friday to you, America. By the way, all of our new listeners around the country, it is Open Line Friday. Every Friday, you have an opportunity to talk about whatever is on your mind, whatever questions you might have. I'm going to do my best to answer those. Today, all you have to do is pick up the telephone and get on the air. By the way, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, and we'll be taking your calls today. A lot going on. By the way, our good buddy, Dr. Robert Jeffress, is going to drop by. He had a cameo, by the way, in the movie Melania. Yeah, that was getting a lot of reports from people who have had a great time going to see the documentary. Curious to hear your thoughts on if you've been to see the documentary. They're expecting another big week at the box office, or at least a weekend. Also, of course, this is Super Bowl weekend, and Bad Bunny is ratcheting up the rhetoric, and he's telling anyone who is upset about his upcoming halftime performance that you people need to learn Spanish. So Bad Bunny, it says that everything will be performed in Spanish, and you've had plenty of time to learn the language so you can enjoy the halftime Super Bowl show. And there's also a lot of fury over Kid Rock. We're going to get to that. By the way, here is Bad Bunny at this press conference just a little while ago, responding to all of the NFL fans who are enraged over his language. Cut number 10.
It's going to be a huge party. It's going to be what people always can expect from me. I don't know if that is something that that's what I want to bring to the stage. Of course, a lot of my culture, but I really don't want to give any spoilers. It's gonna be fun and it's gonna party. It's gonna be easy and people only have to worry about dance. I know that I told them that they had 4 months to learn Spanish. They don't even have to learn Spanish. They just it's better if they learn to dance. But I think
the world's gonna dance.
There's no better dance than the one that can come from the heart. The you know, the heartbeat dance. That's the only thing that they need to worry about and have fun and enjoy it.
All right. So there you go. Mr. Bunny is doubling down. It'll all be in Spanish. He's also going to wear a dress to honor queer people. Now, I'm just wondering, what does this actually have to do with football? I don't know. It's got nothing to do. Nothing. As a matter of fact, there is zero connection between this guy and the NFL. There was a video that went around, and we're not going to play this video or this audio. But I want to describe it for you. They went and they asked, I don't know, a couple of dozen NFL players who are playing in the big game Sunday, hey, do you happen to have Bad Bunny on your playlist? Dylan, not a single player. Not a single player has Bad Bunny, and most of them have no idea who this guy is.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
I mean, and then you've got, was it Eric Dickerson, who's the NFL great? They cornered him about this, and they said, hey, what do you think about Bad Bunny? And the guy went off. He was like, yo, man, he goes, why can't we find somebody who has a connection to the NFL? Or why not have somebody, one of the artists in the San Francisco area? I mean, well, nobody wants drag queens performing at the, nobody wants that, Eric. But to his point, it seems like this is yet another missed opportunity. And I'm just wondering how many of you are going to turn off the halftime show. You know, are you going to, first of all, are you going to watch the big game? And if you are, what do you do at halftime? You know, TPUSA is doing this other show with Kid Rock as the star, and they had Lee Bryce on Newsmax. And I'm just sorry. I don't know anybody in the lineup. And I'm really surprised that TPUSA with the hundreds of millions of dollars they have, they could not find sponsors to bring in some bigger name acts. But Kid Rock is going to be the headliner. That set off a state representative in Tennessee by the name of Justin Jones. He is a radical black activist. And here's what he had to say. Cut one.
There's going to be a halftime show. I know some folks will be a little bit triggered by an artist named Bad Bunny. But I want to just make an announcement that before you rage tweet, Bad Bunny is from Puerto Rico, and Puerto Rico is a part of America. They have American citizenship because of colonization. So I want to just give you some information before we see a few racist tweets. Secondly, I know some of you are going to be watching the bootleg Temu version of the halftime show that Turning Point and MAGA is doing with a man named Kid Rock. Kind of weird. He's a grown man named Kid Rock. But he has lyrics about liking underage girls, which is called pedophilia. And I think we should be a little uncomfortable by that. I know that's very common right now in the White House. But I think that we should not support people who have lyrics about liking underage girls. So Kid Rock, shameful. I hope you all tune into Bad Bunny. It's some good music. Get some culture and enjoy.
All right. So there you go. So that's the other side of it. Whatever happened to a good old-fashioned marching band? You know, that's what they had for the very first Super Bowl halftime show. They rolled out the marching bands. You know, whatever happened to, why does the halftime show have to be controversial? I was reading an op-ed last night that said, well, that's the whole point, is it's supposed to be controversial. No, why? Who says a halftime show is supposed to be controversial? Why can't a halftime show be entertaining? Why can't we just kick back and enjoy a fun, you know, a fun performance? What was it when Lady Gaga and Dean Martin, or not Dean? Was it Dean Martin? No, it was Tony Bennett. Maybe Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett. Why can't we do like a mashup like that? Everybody loves it. I'm just. Why does it have to be controversial? Who says it does? And you know why? The left says it does. And this is what these communists do. Nothing is just about sheer entertainment and escapism and enjoyment. It's all about shoving a political agenda down your throats. And it doesn't have to be that way. And it shouldn't have to be that way. But everything's that way. Even, what was it, Marvel with their movies and the Incredible Hulk. Even the Incredible Hulk was a far left radical progressive. Why? And have you noticed that every time they do that, every time the left does that, they just destroy everything that they touch. And I hate that. So now you've got the squawking magpies over on The View, and they're weighing in on all of this. Cut number 11.
Can I read you? I want to read you a quote from Kid Rock and ask you what you think. He said, so this is from Kid Rock taking jabs at Bad Bunny. Quote, he said he's having a dance party wearing a dress and singing in Spanish. Cool. We plan to play great songs for folks who love America, unquote. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if you're speaking in Spanish and you want to dance, that makes you un-American, according to Kid Rock.
Yes, and so many people have said that they have this foreign act in the Bad Bunny performing for halftime. Just for a public service announcement for those people, Puerto Ricans are American citizens because Puerto Rico is the territory of the United States. So all Puerto Ricans that are born in Puerto Rico or here on the mainland are American citizens. So Bad Bunny, while he speaks Spanish, as Anna does, as I do, we're all Americans. I think what's fascinating is that this off-brand type of halftime show is even happening because they think that Bad Bunny is not American. And think about all the other acts that have performed during halftime, like Phil Collins. He's from the UK, okay? The
U2?
Who? UK. Right. U2? UK.
Coldplay.
I mean, Coldplay, UK. They're not American, and that didn't make the halftime show un-American. It is so very racist, what is happening in this country about Bad Bunny. Let's call a thing a thing.
No, there's nothing racist at all about it. And by the way, let me say something about Kid Rock here. And this is what they're all upset about. I guess in 2001, there was a song named Cool Daddy Cool that appeared on the soundtrack for a children's movie named Osmosis Jones. I'm not familiar. The lyric goes like this. Kid Rock singing, young ladies, I like them underage. See, some say that's statutory. Yeah, that's disgusting. I don't argue with that. That's absolutely reprehensible. The late rapper Joe C featured in the song, then added, "But I say it's mandatory." Okay, that's disgusting and sick too. But again, that's not the issue. TPUSA, they're going to have to explain all. They're going to have to explain all of that to their constituent and their base. But if I'm looking for, let me just say this: if I'm looking for a family-friendly Super Bowl halftime show, there may not be one this year, even with whatever TPUSA is going to do. And that's unfortunate. Missed opportunity. But back to Bad Bunny, there's nothing racist about this. People just find it weird that a guy is going to honor queer people by dancing around in a dress at a halftime show at a football game. That is genuinely, and I may be overstepping here, but I don't believe that the average NFL fan hangs out on Super Bowl or any other game day wearing a dress, a miniskirt, and pantyhose. But that's just me. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, do you agree with this notion that the halftime show should be sending some sort of a political message? Me personally, I just miss the good old days when you could enjoy the commercials, laugh at the commercials, you could sit down and watch a great musical performance at the halftime show, and you weren't having some sort of an agenda shoved down your throat. By the way, they're singing the Black National Anthem. Want to talk about racism? Okay, well, that's not necessarily racist. It's more bigoted. Because you know what? We already have an anthem in this country. It's called the Star-Spangled Banner. Let me say something about this Black National Anthem. What hubris. All right, so if you're going to do that, NFL, if you're going to force people, and by the way, you do not stand for the Black National Anthem because it's not your anthem. But here's my broader question for the NFL. What are you telling all the Hispanic football players? Are you telling them that their national anthem doesn't matter? Or what about the Asian football players? What about their anthem? Or Pacific Rim players? What about their national anthem? I mean, where do you draw the line? You see, we already have a national anthem that covers all of that. Red, black, what is the Sunday school song teach us? Red, yellow, black, white, they're precious in our, you see, our national anthem, it's for every skin color. That's what that's all about. All right, 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss. And it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss, and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900 or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you. Dylan, I understand we got a call from a sweet elderly lady.
Yes, we did. Yes.
And she had questions about the Super Bowl.
Yes, she was wondering if it was actually true that Bad Bunny was going to be wearing a dress and promoting queer people and the queer agenda. And I unfortunately had to tell her yes. She was very upset.
I can imagine. I can imagine that would be off-putting to especially good church-going sweet grandmas.
Yeah, she was very concerned. You know, there's going to be children that could be watching and it could give them the wrong ideas. And she said she's part of a prayer group. They're prayer warriors. They said they prayed for a blackout during the halftime show.
Wait. What?
They're praying that the power goes out during halftime.
You're kidding me.
Very strongly. Yeah.
Do we know what denomination she is?
I did not ask.
You see, if it's the Pentecostals, I'd be really concerned. because that just might happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Honestly. So she's
very upset, very concerned.
Stop. Really?
Yeah.
No. Well, good for her. I mean, that maybe that's the answer here. Divine intervention.
Yeah. And, I mean, she's probably going to end up turning her TV off. Most people will probably turn their TV off. I know I will. But, yeah, that's not a bad thing to start praying for.
What is a halftime during the Super Bowl? What, a half an hour-ish?
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I've already figured that, well, I have to watch it. But if I didn't have to watch it, the reason I have to watch it is so that you guys don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm taking one for the team. Otherwise, I'd be watching an old episode of the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
Right? It's under a half an hour. So you get in some good old Mayberry. Nobody's wearing a dress in Mayberry except Aunt B.
And then you're right back to football like you wanted.
Unless Aunt B stands for Bunny.
Aunt Bunny.
What does Aunt B stand for?
Somebody knows.
Somebody knows. Maybe that's actually a great question. What was Aunt B's real name? Did she have a real name? I thought it was always Aunt B. All right, I'm getting off on a tangent here that I don't need to, but somebody will let us know. All right, we've got to talk about this only briefly because it's really a big nothing burger. It's stupid and it shouldn't have happened. Still, it's a big nothing burger. So this morning, early this morning, President Trump shared a meme. And at the very, very end of the meme, you know how when you have something on autoplay and at the end of whatever the video is, it starts up the next video? Well, in this case, it started up the next video, which was a rendition of The Lion King that featured all of these Democrats and other politicos as creatures in the jungle, and President Trump was the Lion King. So you have their faces are superimposed on these little critters. Jeez, Lou. So President Trump, when he posted this video, it was like not even a second. It was Barack and Michelle Obama in the jungle. And so anyway, all you know what's breaking loose. They're accusing the president of being racist. The president's not racist. This was just really a dumb move. I don't understand why the administration is doing all this stuff, because it's crazy. And let me just say, if the roles were reversed and you had Democrats doing this, all hell would be breaking loose on the other side. Anyway, senators are now coming out, Republican senators, in condemning this. Senator Roger Wicker, who, by the way, is really a Democrat, and you people in Mississippi, you need to get this guy out of office. But anyway, Roger Wicker, because he's anti-conservative, is who he is. Roger Wicker says this is totally unacceptable. The president should take it down and apologize. Tim Scott's catching a lot of. He's really upset. And Tim Scott is saying that I really hope this is not real. If it is, it's one of the most racist things I've seen. That's what Senator Tim Scott said. I cannot defend this, and I'm not going to defend it. This is a huge distraction, and I get it. It was a simple mistake. But you know what? We can't make mistakes like this. We just can't. Oh, yeah, here's Tim Scott. Praying it was fake because it's the most racist thing I've seen out of this White House. The president should remove it. That's coming from Senator Tim Scott out of South Carolina. What can I tell you? What can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen? We got a lot of stuff that's important in this country, and it's the distractions coming out of the White House. This is it. It's not helpful at all. Come on. Do better. Do better, White House. Do better. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, looking forward to this weekend heading to Nashville. I'll be one of the keynote speakers at this year's Young America's Foundation Freedom Fest. Congressman Tim Burchett will be there. Abby Johnson, a lot of other great conservative leaders speaking to hundreds of college kids from around the nation. And it's an honor to be able to talk to the students. We'll be doing a big book signing as well. Real quick, I want to go to the phone lines. Teresa from Georgia. Teresa, I know you're going to be able to help us out. We were talking just off the cuff about the Andy Griffith Show. And I could not remember if Aunt B actually had a name or if her name was Aunt B. And Teresa, you've got an answer to the question.
I do. Her name was Beatrice Taylor.
Is that right? So it really was Aunt B. So B is short for Beatrice.
Yes, sir, it was.
Teresa, I had no idea. You have educated me today.
Right. Now you can go home and go to bed. That's what my husband always said. When you learn something new for the day, you can go home and rest.
It would have bothered me the entire day had you not called in, Teresa. So because of you, I'm going to get a good night's rest tonight.
Good. I'm so glad. You have a wonderful day.
All right. Have a blessed
your show.
Well, thank you, Teresa. God bless you and all of our great listeners over on WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, he is the pastor of the 16,000-member First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. He is the host of the incredibly popular Pathway to Victory television and radio program, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Dr. Jeffress, it's been a while. I hope you're doing well, and I bet you knew the answer to that question.
I actually did know the answer to that question. I've had the chance to go to the Andy Griffith Museum in Mount Airy and see everything. It's a great show. We ought to have more like them.
You know, it's interesting. I have been to that museum, and that's a fun little it's a fun little detour. The bigger question is, did you get to ride around in the squad car?
I saw the squad car. I didn't get to ride around in it. Wish I had.
Same here, but I did buy Aunt B's cookbook, and some of the recipes are pretty good, Dr. Jeffress. So.
I bet they are. She could cook up a storm.
So a couple of things. Your name keeps popping up in the news, and it's all very good. The National Prayer Breakfast, you know, President Trump speaking yesterday, and your name came up.
Well, he was nice to give a little shout-out there, talking about my being one of the very first endorsing 10 years ago. And he always says... funny way of saying it. He said, you know, Pastor Jeffers said, I may not read my Bible 3 hours a day. I may not read it very often. I may never have opened it, but I'm a good leader and I'll deliver for Christians. And he's done that. I mean, that's the point of all of it. He has done so much for those who are followers of Jesus Christ. His emphasis on religious liberty is unparalleled. His support for pastors to be able to preach whatever they want to without fear of government interference, his stand with Israel, obliterating Iran's nuclear capability. I mean, he's delivered on everything he said he's going to do.
Well, and that is an important thing, especially in the area of religious liberty, and churches and Christians individually they've been coming under attack and under assault. I know that you guys dealt with that. I just wrapped up and turned in my manuscript for my new book and was writing about the IRS, and they were coming after First Baptist Church in Dallas.
Absolutely, and I had the chance to testify before the President's Religious Liberty Commission that Dan Patrick is chairing. We testified on December the 12th about our experience in which, I mean, bottom line, we had a patriotic celebration. And we had two members of the Trump administration, Pence and Ben Carson, who came and shared their personal testimony of how they came to faith in Jesus Christ. And the IRS said that was a violation of the Johnson Amendment, and we're taking steps to remove our tax-exempt status. And fortunately, God intervened in that situation. We stood our ground, and eventually the IRS backed down and issued a letter saying we were clear, we had done nothing wrong. And Todd, that ended up costing our church hundreds of thousands of dollars. Most churches could not afford to do that, and no church should have to do that. As I said to the commission in December, what I preach in my pulpit, what any pastor preaches in his pulpit, is none of the government's business.
Amen.
So thank God we have a president who believes that.
I'm with you 1,000% on that, Dr. Jeffress. And again, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, Dr. Robert Jeffress from the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And it's sad to say that, but the rot is so severe within the federal government that I hope that the president's able to target all of these anti-religious liberty folks that are working in the government. I'm not sure they're going to be able to, which is why it's so important, I think, for Christians to stay engaged in the political process. What do you say about that?
Well, it's absolutely true. This is going to take a long time to root out the rot that is in our government, because so much of it is at the mid-level with career government employees. And, you know, at the top, they change leaders with every administration. But in our case, it was a mid-level issue that was going on here. And we can never say we're finished. We're done with our responsibility. We got Roe v. Wade overturned, and so all is right. No, all is not right. And look, I want to be clear. I don't think we can legislate Christianity. The gospel of Jesus Christ is based on our, as Christians, sharing the faith, our faith in Jesus with others. But I do think the scripture commands us to be salt, to be a preservative, to push back against evil so that we have longer and the freedom to preach the gospel. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can change a person's heart. And the only way you're going to change America is by changing the hearts of Americans. And that's what faith in Christ can do.
So last week, I was getting text messages about the new film Melania. I think just about every conservative lady in the country is going. And someone said, you're not going to believe this, I think I saw Dr. Robert Jeffress in the Melania movie. I'm like, that can't be. Wait, what? Is this true? You made a cameo.
It is an absolutely true. I had the experience last Friday. I happened to be in West Palm. And my phone started blowing up Friday night, and it was people texting me, you're a movie star, you're a movie star. I said, what are you talking about? And they said I was in the film Melania. This is a chronicle of the First Lady's 20 days leading up to the inauguration, and that the pre-inauguration candlelight dinner, the night before the inauguration, I was asked to deliver a prayer for the president and the First Lady and for our nation. And it had about 1,000 participants in this dinner. Elon Musk, Mike Johnson, all the cabinet and so forth were there. And they included my prayer in the movie. So I was very honored that they did that. And but it was quite a surprise.
Well, but forget about that, because you're not even the star of this story at First Baptist Dallas. It is the women of the First Baptist Church, Dr. Jeffress. There is a photo on social media of all of these ladies in these beautiful matching ball gowns. And that picture has been seen over 3.7 million times, Dr. Jeffress.
That's right. They sent me the pictures. Some members of our church had gone to the movie premiere to see it, some ladies. And it appeared that they had dressed in Melania dresses. And so I posted it thanking our church ladies for going to the movie. It turned out it was AI. I mean, they really went to the movie. There was really that many of them that went. But one of them decided to do a little enhancement by putting on the Melania dresses.
Are you kidding me? So the dresses are AI?
The dresses are AI. The women are real. The dresses are AI.
Oh, my gosh. I would never have guessed that in a million years.
I never would have either. These ladies pulled one on their pastor.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Southern Baptist, I'm going to get us both in trouble. Southern Baptists have the prettiest church ladies and also the finest cooks.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I'm not sure Aunt Dee was a church lady, but she was close to it.
Well said. Well, but again, isn't it fun that, you know, we can go out and watch documentaries like this, watch movies like this, and it's just sort of a refreshing thing to know that we have an administration that respects people of faith.
That's right. I mean, they planned the program. They wanted a prayer. The president has always placed a high value on prayer. You know, I have to tell this real quick. I was one day in the first administration, walked in to see the president for a moment in the Oval Office. He had a highly decorated general in there. And he said to the general, he said, "You know, General, Robert is more powerful than you are." And the general looked kind of funny, like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "No, think about it," the president said. "Every day, Robert talks to the one who controls everything that happens in the universe." And the president believes that. He believes in the power of prayer. And I'm grateful that he included that prayer. They included the prayer in this documentary, which, by the way, is fascinating behind the scenes. Every American who loves our country ought to see the movie just to see what goes on behind the scenes.
Well, it's a wonderful thing, and we just so appreciate you giving the president wise and godly counsel, and we just appreciate the great ministry you guys have there at the First Baptist Church in Dallas. What a fine congregation of Christians, and man, it's just exciting to have you as a part of our show, Dr. Jeffress.
Well, we're excited about your new book, and you're due to make a visit at First Baptist, so come see us.
I will do that, and maybe we can talk to the AI people. I need some help.
We know who to call.
Just don't put me in a dress. All right. Dr. Jeffress, thank you.
I'm wiping that image from my mind.
Yes. All right. The great Dr. Robert Jeffress, First Baptist Church in Dallas. Wow. I had no idea. Dylan, I'm going to send you, in the break, I'm going to send you this photo. And I just thought to myself, what a fun bunch of Baptist ladies, because they all went out and bought these big dresses, and it's just stunning. I had no idea this was AI, but it's got something like, I just texted you, it's got over 3.7 million views, which is pretty darn good for a Southern Baptist group. I'm just telling you.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
Right?
You would never know.
Never know in a million. I'm going to post this on the Facebook page. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up 5 o'clock, Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show. You know, millions of people are watching Newsmax, including President Trump. They're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters Institute says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in the country. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax. Real news for real people. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone line. Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Todd, I want to give you a little to think about when you're watching the Super Bowl Sunday. I read not too long ago that the average NFL game only has less than 15 minutes of actual football being played in it. And what I'm talking about, football being played, that's the ball is in play and they're playing football. That's from the snap to the whistle. So if you watch the whole Super Bowl, which usually is 4 to 5 hours, and watch the Bad Bunny show, you'll probably get to see more Bad Bunny than you see football.
That's sort of sad, Steve.
It is sad, isn't it?
that's sort of tragic. It's, yeah, you know, I just hate, you know, I hate that, you know, all of these new rules. It's like every year when they come up with new rules, and we're getting to a point where eventually it's basically going to be flag football, where you're not even allowed to touch the other players.
Yeah, you probably spend more time watching them review calls than you spend actually seeing them play football if you sit and watch a whole NFL game.
Steve, it's a fair point you bring up. All right, my friend, you have a great weekend. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. Let's go to Ron in Salem, Oregon. KYKN wants to weigh in on the Black Anthem. Hi, Ron.
Hey, my brother, I'm gonna put the dagger right in the chest with my bear claw of accountability. And I'm gonna say this, to have the Black Anthem to me is a dishonor to me as a veteran. He said, "Not this honor to me, to my friend, which I got to meet, the original band of brothers, Donald George Malarkey. And it's a dishonor to my foster father, flew 124 missions, Raymond Lamar Lindsay, escorting as a Tuskegee Airman. To go through and have them rewrite this history to separate but equal, everything goes against Reverend King's thing that we all Americans, our Judeo-Christian values. It's idolatry. It's rude. And then to have the lukewarm catfish go through, the rhinos, as I'm talking about, undermining this president is very, it's like they're purposely trying to get this country to keep dividing itself. Let these kids get out of schools on our tax dollars being guided by the Marxist public unions of the schools. It's basically setting us up for almost a civil war type situation. This is, to me, like 1 month before the Fort Sumter incident, and it's just, it's getting wrong. It's right. It's not right. Our president needs our party to come together. Where is the Manassas committee man? And you know, I'm associated with the Republican Party out here in Polk County, and it breaks my heart that, oh, we just need to be tea and coffee. If you did your job, National Committee Man John Gruters, you would be out there. We would not have the losses in Virginia. We would not have the losses, and we probably would, if you'd done things right, you would not have the goddamn mud dummy in New York. And they all lying with the devil. And
well, let me, yeah, come in, come up for air there, Ron. Let me get a word in edgewise. You know, here's the thing about the Black National Anthem. I think there's probably a better one that that they could have come up with, my friend. You know what I'm talking about, Ron? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Ron,
yes,
are you sir. Hearing it? Are you hearing the beat?
I'm hearing the beat. Oh, yeah. This, right. Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. I can get in on this National Anthem. They just don't make them like this anymore, do they?
No, they do not. And they want to be touchy-feely, lukewarm catfish, just like a football. They, you know, when you go up a Lynn Swan, you got what we call it, and everybody want to be little sheep. Oh, we got to go along and get along, please. We don't have nobody's feelings. No. No, brother. You just keep doing what you're doing. I love you, and don't weaken.
Thank you, brother.
I need lions, not sheep.
All right, I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Uh-oh, we're about to be singing about my brother, man. You know, they don't make songs like this anymore, Dylan.
I didn't even know this was, so I'm learning a lot.
Can we play it all the way to the break? That's what I want to know.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now. I forgot the intro is like 60 minutes.
Still going.
Wow, it really is a long intro, isn't it?
I thought this was the whole thing. It sounds pretty good, though.
It does. Soon, Isaac Hayes is going to start singing, I hope. Maybe not. Here we come. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Lord, are we still waiting for how much longer, Dylan?
We're still waiting.
It's been a 10-minute intro to the song.
It's going to happen.
Okay, it's got to happen soon.
Really?
I mean, it's been like since the last hour. All right, it's got to happen soon. Oh, wait a second.
Fire dick as a sex machine to all the chicks.
Jeff!
You're damn right. Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
Jeff!
Can you dig it?
Oh, this is a great theme song.
Who's the cat that won't cop out when there's danger all
hold
about?
On. Chef. Oh, dadgummit. I'm white. I missed the beat. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, now this is what I'm talking. I mean, if you're going to do a black national anthem.
Yes.
Okay, this is one I can get behind.
Immediately, yeah.
I'm on. Come on.
Obviously, they're very, you know, musically inclined, so you have to let the instrumental ride out for the longest of time.
The problem is the intro to the song is longer than the actual Super Bowl.
It's true.
Come on. I'm going to stick my neck out for my brother, man. Let's go to the Patriot. Stop. Oh, my God. What? Sorry. Oh, my goodness. All right. Look, I do have to tell you a quick story. Then we're going to bring in Steve Gill. So your grandparents, Dylan, I took your grandparents. So we did a family trip to Israel a couple of years ago. And we got a great deal on some first class tickets on Virgin Airlines, right? Virgin Air. And first class is sort of designed to like have that Austin Powers 70s feel and vibe. Like, you know, the stewardesses, I was going to call them waitresses. The flight attendants wear mini skirts and the boots, you know, high heel boots, the whole nine yards. And they actually had a bar like back in the 1970s. I mean, all we needed was shag carpet on the ceiling and it was insane.
Sounds like the best flight ever.
So do you have the music queued up?
Oh, yes.
All right. So we're getting ready. We're flying out from JFK, and we had a stop in Heathrow in London, and then we're off to Tel Aviv. So anyway, we're already kind of, you know, your grandmother was incredibly nervous. She doesn't like to fly. So Aunt Lynn, Uncle Jerry were there, and they were all buckled in, and they were already nervous. And then all of a sudden, on the intercom system, you hear this. They were playing Shaft. We're literally taking off, and as soon as they timed it, so as soon as we take off, it was like, who's the black private dick that's a sex machine for all the chicks? And I think your grandmother trying to get out the airplane.
What a funky way to get in the air.
What a funky way to get. And sure enough, and then when we landed, they brought Shaft back on.
It was still playing.
It was still playing. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good buddy Steve Gill, publisher of TriStarDaily.com. So, Steve, all this to say, we were trying to come up with a new black national anthem for the Super Bowl.
Thank goodness anybody not watching on the live stream wasn't seeing you clap along about a half beat off. Your whiteness was so apparent to everybody that was watching. Not only were you yelling Shaft a half beat off,
no,
your clapping would have completely confirmed that there's not even a black bone in your body terms of your DNA.
It's true. And that is a great, it's really a great sense of disappointment in my life. I don't clap on the downbeat.
By the way, with due respect to remakes everywhere, I mean, I think Maverick Top Gun is better than the original. Most remakes are not nearly as good as the original. And the original Shaft is 10 times better than the remake they did of Shaft.
1,000%.
The original is the only one to watch. I don't know if it's on Netflix or Prime, but it's worth watching the original, not the remake.
No, I think you're right. And it's that whole era of like movies. You had Shaft, you had what, Steve McQueen movies coming out, and of course Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's that was back in the day. Who is it? Of course, Isaac Hayes, who's a good old Memphis guy, that's his song.
And I think Richard Roundtree may have played Shaft.
Yes. Wow, that is back. Man, it was 1971, and so you had the film noir stuff going on and blaxploitation films, and that movie Shaft is truly one of my favorite movies of all time.
And one of the greatest songs ever, even though the intro, as you point out, is longer than the song. But you can't beat the lyrics or the tune. I vote yes on Black National Anthem.
So we had poor Ron from Salem call in the last hour of the show. So I told Dylan, I said, let's play Shaft, thinking we had plenty of time because we had like 4.5 minutes left in the show and it was still going. It was still going, Steve. Oh, my Lord. Anyway, yeah, Richard Roundtree, by the way, was the original Shaft, and then they did the remake, and the remakes were okay, but they nowhere near as good as the original.
And if congressional candidate Justin Pearson in Memphis really wants to try and get back to that throwback era, he's going to have to add some sideburns to the fro. I mean, you got to have the sideburns and the fro, not just the fro, if you really want to go with the 70s, you know, agenda.
Yeah, but you got to have the personality, too, and the voice. And he's like, hello, my name is Just. The guy talk in real life, he talks wider than I do. So it is what it is. But
what was it they did the routine one time on, I think it was Letterman or something, things that sound sexy when I can't remember the guy's the artist's name says it, but it was like gingivitis. I mean, the guy had the lowest, deepest, sexiest voice, sexual healing, all those other great great songs. But yeah, gingivitis sounds sexy when you say it with the right voice.
You name your child gingivitis. By the way, if you haven't seen, speaking of blaxploitation films, there's a great movie that was done, and Eddie Murphy started, it came out in 2019, and I believe it's on Netflix, called Dolomite Is My Name, and it's actually a biographical comedy drama. Absolutely hilarious. Not for kids, but it's really funny. Dolomite Is My Name. Got to go check that out. Steve, I know I invited you on the show to talk about something. I remember what it is now. The power situation in Nashville, where thousands of people are still, this is insane. You're telling, they're still without power, and we're what? I mean, 2 weeks past the storm.
Yes, and the story we broke today on TriStarDaily.com, TriStarDaily.com, apparently Elon Musk donated 500 generators during the height of the storm, Tractor Supply, 200 generators. Others were donating generators to try to supply power for people who were out of power. Way below freezing conditions, trapped in their homes. And NES, the Nashville Electric Service, and the Blue City Mayor, Freddie Never Ready O'Connell, decided to basically allow the allocation, distribution of these generators to be put into the hands of the illegal alien anti-ICE activists in town, who, of course, distributed the generators to folks in the illegal immigration community, which, by the way, if they just go back to South and Central America, they would have been perfectly warm. But they distributed these generators to the illegal alien population in town. Now, how many of them got sold before they were opened? How many of them now been being sold rather than returned for use in the next crisis in the aftermath of hundreds of thousands of people getting their power returned? But worse than that, the anti-ICE activists have been training and prepping citizens to go interfere, obstruct, blow their whistles and interfere with ICE. These are the people that the mayor and NES provided with the generators to while they're trying to counteract ICE. That's who they gave the generators to.
This is insanity. So you're telling me that in the height of all of this emergency, and by the way, thousands of people are still without power because the woke leadership at the Nashville Electric Company, they actually took care of the trees more so than keeping the trees away from the power lines, causing this disaster. And now you're telling me that instead of giving the generators to the law-abiding citizens of Nashville so they can stay warm, they gave them to illegals.
And to make it even worse, these illegal activist groups that were given the generators to distribute to the illegal aliens were also helping to block the immediate deployment of the National Guard at the height of the crisis, because they were concerned that the National Guard in uniforms might scare the illegals, might cause them to be afraid to leave their homes, that it would look militaristic like Memphis. And so Freddie O'Connell and the Metro Council in Nashville delayed deploying the National Guard when we needed chainsaws and all hands on deck for a couple of days because they were listening to the illegal alien activists rather than to 99% of Nashvillians that would have welcomed the National Guard with open arms.
Wow, that has to be investigated by the Tennessee state legislature. They've got to get a handle on that.
And it is, again, the aftermath and the lack of transparency, the idea that they're letting the 1% anti-ICE pro-illegal alien population dictate to the 99% of Nashville that, again, would have welcomed the National Guard in, particularly when you had areas that didn't have power. Their, you know, alarm systems, their security systems were out of power. There were concerns people were expressing that looters and robbers could go into those neighborhoods and have their way. At least some robberies did occur in those neighborhoods. How much better would it have been to have had, you know, the National Guard in uniform patrolling areas to prevent crime, in addition to using chainsaws and clearing the streets and the roadways from the blockage caused by the downed trees that were saved thanks to the tree huggers at NES?
This is just really reprehensible, and it's got to be addressed. And the fact of the matter is, the illegal immigration problem in Tennessee is really severe, and we have got to get these people out of the volunteer state. Steve Gill,
by the way, one of the guys that they put in charge of the distribution of supplies and everything else was just sentenced in the immediate days before the ice storm. Who runs something called Mariachi Plaza. This guy was just sentenced to 42 months in jail for $20 to $25 million in bank fraud. This is the leader in the Latino, Hispanic, illegal immigration community that they dispatched the generators to.
Wow. All right.
You can't make this up.
No. All right. I got to move on, Steve. 901-260-5926. Steve Gill joining us, with the publisher of TriStar Daily. There's a big gubernatorial race, and, you know, again, there was a professional poll done, what was it, by Beacon, which is a well-known group in Tennessee, and they have Marsha Blackburn literally just crushing the entire Republican field. However, there was a Facebook poll done last night, in West Tennessee by a guy by the name of Justin Johnson, who is a local conservative activist in the community. This is near Memphis. And I was really surprised. They asked, who do you like? Who do you want to be the next governor? Marsha Blackburn, Congressman John Rose, or state lawmaker Monty Fritz, who is from the eastern part of Tennessee. And Steve, again, I know it's Facebook. It's unscientific. Regardless, you're only allowed one vote, right? So nearly 1,800 people have now voted. And Monty Fritz, who is the state representative, 54% of the vote. Marsha Blackburn, 40%, and Congressman John Rose, a paltry 6%. What should we make out of this? Is there anything to make out of it, or should we just ignore it?
I don't think Marsha Blackburn or John Rose are going to lose any sleep over this bogus poll, and it's bogus with a capital B. The people who put this poll on Facebook are Monty Fritz's supporters. They circulated it among his supporters online. They've been sharing it among his relatively meager number of supporters online across the state. Frankly, he ought to be severely concerned that a poll of his strongest supporters is only giving him slightly over half the support. If the people who are for him are only half in support of him, that should scare him a lot more than it should concern Marsha Blackburn or John Rose. It is not just unscientific, it is a complete bogus hoax poll. And frankly, the Beacon Center poll polled registered voters, a very limited number, rather than likely voters, which, you know, causes me to have serious concern about their poll as well. There's not been a legitimate, independent poll done of this race. It's time for some of the major media outlets to actually do one. And I think, hopefully this latest attempt to create a false momentum for Monty Fritz will maybe generate somebody to do a legitimate poll.
I know over on KWAM, which is the news radio station I own in Memphis, we posted just an online social media, but it's Facebook, and we asked the same question. We've had about a little over 700 people vote this morning in the poll. They've got Marsha Blackburn 62%, Monty Fritz at 33%, and then John Rose at 5%. Even with the Beacon poll, John Rose and Monty Fritz were like within, what, a couple of points of each other, which is really kind of shocking. I mean, look, they're all great people. You know, it's, I mean, Republicans have a great bench, but the reality is this is Marsha Blackburn's race.
Yeah, it's hers to lose. And I think the longer that John Rose fails to dump his millions and millions of dollars he has available to him to close that name ID gap, because that's where Marsha Blackburn is leading. She has huge name recognition. Frankly, again, I would be concerned, you know, if I was on her team, that with her 90% plus name ID, that she still is in that 50 to 60% range, which means a lot of people who assume she's going to win still aren't on board. But John Rose has to start spending money big and soon. Monty Fritz, I think he's raised about $123,000. That's not enough to run a state legislative race, much less a statewide race in Tennessee. John Rose and Marsha both have about $5 million or so in their cash on hand numbers. And John Rose can put in another $5 or $10 million of his own money.
Got to leave it there. I'm super late for a break, Steve, but appreciate all the great intel there. Folks, TriStarDaily.com. Go and read their exclusive reporting. That's TriStarDaily.com. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. Hang tight. Got to take a break. All right, let's work in a call real quick. Lisa, North Carolina. Lisa, what's on your mind?
Oh, my gosh, so much. but we've got lots of problems, Todd, and listening to your show, it keeps me anxious a whole lot. But as an XX chromosomed individual in the Super Bowl, and you all mentioned something about this either yesterday or the day before, I think it is disturbing for the young men that are going to be watching that show. Can we, I think the Supreme Court is still trying to figure out what those are. If they have a need to look at men and other men in skirts, why not bring kilts back? Make kilts great again. You know, have a show with some kilts or something.
I love Lisa. We got to go to break that music. I love this idea, making kilts great again. All right, Lisa, thank you. We'll be right back, everybody. Go to the phones here. Arnez in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Arnez. What's on your mind today?
Well, thankfully, it's 60 degrees out here, so I can't tell you how much I'm loving this.
Melt, and baby, melt. That's all I can say.
Yes. And on top of that, at least with MLGW, we had at least on my end, we had no power outages, nothing up with the heat during that time, so that's a good thing. I know down south, further south where I'm from in the Mississippi Delta, they went at least eight to ten days without power or heat. And thankfully, a lot of people down there had gas stoves. I know Nashville's still going through it.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping everything gets back to normal for them real soon.
Well said.
As far, we're what now? 10 months? No, 9 months away from the midterms.
And November, yeah.
Yeah, nine months today, I think. I may be wrong on that, but we got to check the temperature with the Republican Party, and I can't sit here and say it's any better now than it was 3-4 months ago because of what happened. I can't look no further than what happened in Texas last week for almost 30-point swing to happen in a little over a year. That's not normal. And if I'm a Republican really anywhere at this point, except Alabama, because they had a special election and the Republican won by 7-1, I would be very concerned. I would be very concerned right now. And If I'm the RNC or if I'm deep in the Trump administration, my main concern was how do we right this ship in 9 months' time, or is it even possible for us to right this ship in 9 months' time? Because if you got a 30-point swing in a district that hasn't went Democrat since I was 3 years old, then we're in a lot of trouble here.
Arnaz, I want to bring in, hold on, let's bring in Joe Messina, who is a nationally syndicated talk radio host. He always joins us at this time, and I'm going to get Joe to help answer your question. I'm going to do my best as well, but I do have a question for you. Where do you think the Republicans got off the rails?
I would say the immigration issue with ICE pretty much turned off a lot of people, including those in the Republican Party, because we do want comprehensive immigration reform. But to see people being dragged out of their jobs, dragged out of Targets, dragged out of, you know, dragged out of school lines, that's not the way to do it. To have ICE go into businesses and go into people's homes without warrants, without identification, literally picking up children, 10-year-olds, 5-year-olds, and putting them in the detention facilities, that turned off a lot of people on both sides.
Mm.
And on top of that, also the economy. When you look at we had more layoffs in January than we did since 2009, and in critical areas such as manufacturing, healthcare, et cetera. When you look at those things, like these are not bipartisan issues. These issues in particular affect everyone.
Okay. I want to bring Joe Messina into the conversation. And Arnaz, you've given us a lot to talk about here. Joe, first, hope you're doing well. But what do you make of what Arnaz is saying here?
Well, it's obvious that Arnaz pays attention. So that's really nice to have a caller who has a clue calling into the show. So I appreciate that very much. Look, the only thing I'd say to you, first of all, if you go to the layoffs, we've been talking about jobs, you know, layoffs of jobs for a long time because things like AI, seasonal hires, and really the consolidation of some of these companies like Facebook. Look at Facebook. They laid off tens of thousands of people because they're consolidating departments. AI is kicking in. AI is not going to be the best thing in the world for us. In some areas, maybe yes. In some areas, very much not. I wish that some people would do a little bit more digging when it comes to the kids being, you know, dragged out of schools. You know, I'm with a school district. We do in California, of all places. We don't have ICE knocking on our door coming into the schools. As far as the kids being dragged out, you know, Todd, I don't know if you've been keeping up on it, but the stories aren't quite what mainstream media is telling us, including the 5-year-old. So I think we need to make sure that we get our message out. We're always, what are we doing? We're always playing defense. We need to play offense. We need to do what Tom Homan did a few days ago when he has his press conference, and maybe he should have one every morning and say, this is how many people we got. This is what the download is. This was a murderer. This was a rapist. This guy has been deported 29 times. So I think we need to do a better job of communicating and get the real story out there in every avenue we can. If we can't get out on CNN, MSABC, DEFG, any of those, then we need to find another way to do it.
You know, so, I like this idea because you're right. I mean, there has been such great success, and they don't talk about Memphis as much as they ought to, because what's happening here has been a massive success. Almost 6,000 or 7,000 violent criminals taken off the streets. Hundreds of kids reunited with their parents and their families. I mean, that's the story that the White House ought to be telling.
Todd, 165,000 kids in less than a year, really, that ICE has been able to find, that Department of Homeland Security, and Joe Biden couldn't find them if they were in the Oval Office with him, all right? This is the story we need to be telling, and we're not doing it. We're doing what Republicans always do. The heat starts to get turned up, they jump out of the pan, and they head over to the sink and just get away from everything. No. Come back out. Have the Tom Homans of the world coming out there and say, hey, we had a great day yesterday. We were able to pick up 2,000 people, and 89.9% of them were violent criminals that weren't handed back to us. And then the only other thing I would say, we wouldn't be going into businesses. We wouldn't be going into communities, even though I know some of my colleagues and friends don't agree with me. We wouldn't be going into these if ICE could actually go to the jail, loaded up with the people that are there that, you know, we need to send back, that we need to deport, that we need, that are violent offenders. we would, people that are just here illegally, I think would be on the B, you know, on the B train, not on the A train, so to speak.
No, I hear you, and you're right. By the way, there's a story circulating, and you will see this video, and I want to provide you the context. In Memphis, federal agents were making arrests. There was a guy on outstanding warrants, and a dog started lunging at the agents. The agents told the dog's owner, it's one of these, like, metrosexual Cujo dogs. You know what I'm talking about. And so I was like, rawr, 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 rawr. You're just, like, really getting ready to attack the agent. And they said, secure your dog, ma'am. And the dog owner did not do that. The dog lunges at the cop. And I'm just going to tell you, this cop should probably audition for the Tennessee Titans as a kicker, because that dog went flying. And so now everybody's upset. Oh, they hate dogs. The dog got like a broken rib or something. But you know what? Yeah. When the officers tell you, control your dog, you control your dog.
You know what? He could have shot the dog. He would have had every right to shoot the dog. But instead he kicked it. And that dog is still around and still alive. So they're looking for any reason to blow these things up in way out of proportion.
Get the dog some kibbles and bits. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
No kidding.
Jeez, Lou. Joe Messina on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line this afternoon. Joe, I want to get your take on the election. So this goes back to something else Arnaz said. Here's the reality. And here's what I am concerned about this. It's what happened in Texas, and they're saying, oh, it was bad weather. It was just a one-off special election. You know, okay, fine. Well, what about Virginia, where the Republicans had their butts handed to them, and now the Democrats and the governor just signed off on a plan that will eliminate all but one Republican congressional district? That's the problem I'm seeing here.
We don't come out. Okay, I don't know what's happened to the Republican Party as a whole. It seems like there's only a small group of us left. But, you know, you look at what happens. They got Trump in there. They got the House. They got the Senate. Now we sit back on the couch, drooling out of the side of our mouths, going, okay, you guys got this. No, they don't got this. And you still need to come out and vote. The Dems do a great job at bringing people out. What's really funny is I just had this argument with the head of the LA GOP in Los Angeles, here in California, and they're talking about voter reg, voter reg, voter reg. I said, has anybody stopped and looked at how many of our Republicans have actually come out and vote? We had such a dismal, over 31% of Republicans did not come out and vote in that last election. I mean, ridiculous. We know we need to be here. So stop trying to get more people registered and start trying to get more people out to vote. Go ahead, Doc.
Here's my favorite part of it is the liberals in New York City are enraged right now because the streets are not plowed and the garbage, it smells. There's filth in the streets. Garbage piled 5-6 feet high on the sidewalks because Mamdami doesn't know how to deal with a snowstorm. And even communist Bill de Blasio, Comrade Bill, even he was able to get the streets cleared and the garbage picked up during the snowstorm. So they're all upset. And I'm like, you know, sorry, guys, but you voted for this.
You know, this is great because he couldn't give orders. He was too busy being at the hospital, right, visiting the criminal that stabbed a police officer. Couldn't be bothered visiting the police officer. Look, Todd, I'm done with these people. They vote for them. They bring them in, then they complain about them, and then they're going to want money from us, from the rest of the country, to clean up the mess they created, like in Chicago and New York and other, in D.C. for a while there. We're done with it. No, you want the Mamdami? You got him. He's all yours.
Have at it. Good luck with it. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Oh, by the way, now Mamdami is coming out, and they spent something like $30,000. What is that? They've spent just tons of money on these pamphlets written in multiple languages on how to avoid ICE. And Mamdami is also encouraging people to embrace Islam and what Islam says about immigration.
Well, listen, we knew what he was like. And I'm just going to stay on this mantra. We knew what he was like. We told him what they were like. We put up lousy candidates for to be mayor of New York, well, you know, one of the greatest cities on the planet at one point in time. They get what they vote for. What was it, that guy, Obama? Didn't he say elections have consequences? I don't know what to say to these people anymore. Again, I go back and say, you know, look at Chicago. Look at what they did in Seattle. Look at what they're doing on all these progressive cities, sanctuary cities across the country. Todd, as the federal government should not give them 5 cents to clean up any mess that a progressive makes in these cities. Mm. You agree?
Agreed. Well said. They've got to learn their lesson. Joe, yep. I got to take a break. But it's good hearing from you. Where can people go if they want to get more information about the great Joe Messina?
It's really simple. I don't know about the great one, but me, they can find it, joemessina.com. JoeMessina.com, and a list of stations and everything else. God bless, Todd. Thanks for what
all
you do.
All right. Joe Messina, everybody, on the Todd Stern Show. Before we go to break, poor Stephen's been holding on forever, and we've got to get to Stephen because, Stephen, is this true? You used to be a neighbor to Aunt P.
Yes, sir. She's my next door neighbor.
Well, we have got a bad phone connection there. We'll try to get that. Well, we're going to have to get more intel on that. But we do need to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's radio show. You know, one of the kinder things and one of the things I love about our nation is that people are just so generous. And I know across places like Nashville and Oxford, Mississippi, and Oxford, the home of the University of Mississippi, was just really devastated by the storm. And there are hundreds of linemen from all over the nation that are in Mississippi right now helping get the lights back on. So there's a young lady, her name is Callie, and she decided to do something about that. Cut number three, please.
I live in Oxford, Mississippi, and we were hit pretty bad with the snowstorm. There are a lot of people who don't have electricity, heat, water. And there are truly just as many people here working around the clock to make sure that we can get those things back. I do feel like these guys are typically the underdogs. We're all grateful that we have power, but we forget why we have power. I thought it would be fun to find a way to give back to them today. We're going to go to Chick-fil-A, order a ton of sandwiches, and pass them out to the workers that we see. So let's go.
We're all at Chick-fil-A. Thank you so much, Miss. You're welcome. Do you want Chick-fil-A? Do you guys want some Chick-fil-A? Do you guys want Chick-fil-A? Spicy. Do you want food? Bye, thank y'all. Regular sandwiches, spicy sandwiches, or chicken nuggets.
Wow, what a great thing those young ladies did, and just want to say thank you. There are so many good people in this country, and we certainly salute them. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, there's a lot of angst within the Republican Party nationally over what to do with the illegals. For me, it's very clear, and I'm not sure what part of deport them all the Republican Party doesn't understand, but apparently something's getting lost in translation. So Congress gal Maria Salazar, she's a Republican, and she was explaining why we don't need to deport all of the illegals. Take a listen.
But don't touch the nannies or the gardeners or the ones who are picking up the jalapeno peppers or the oranges or the berries or the ones in the dairy houses. Come on. Those people are helping us eat better, cheaper homes, cheaper vegetables, and better fruits. So those are the ones that we are trying to give a dignified status.
Well, and I'm all about giving them a dignified status, which is why we're giving them a plane ticket at taxpayer expense to go back to their home country. And it seems to me that, you know, if you're a lawmaker and you've got that sort of attitude, and by the way, the Democrats, they have the exact same attitude when it comes to the illegals. For them, the issue is they need somebody to mow their lawns and they need somebody to take care of their kids and cook the meals and clean the toilets. I mean, that is really despicable to think like that. But again, we have nothing against immigrants. You just need to come here the right way. That's all we're saying here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number if you would like to join us on Open Line Friday. Also, want to encourage you to go and check out our website, folks, toddstearns.com. And we have so many great and wonderful stories for you to read there, videos for you to watch. You can also, and I encourage you to do this, get a copy of our podcast, get a copy of our daily newsletter. And we don't share your information. We keep that all secure, but we want to make sure that you have these free resources. And of course, you can also purchase copies of my books. Those are available at toddstearns.com in our store. So we encourage you to check that out. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. We are right back with more. Again, toddstearns.com, and get yourself a copy, a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You're going to want to read this book. We'll be right back, everybody.